Okay, I want to proceed with Siv Chav Dalet, just to finish off yesterday's discussion and yesterday's conversation. It's interesting, I just want to, we started off perhaps the question, so we mentioned that there's a problem by having pictures in a shul. Pictures in a siddur is a problem, and pictures in shul is a problem. And we analyzed that with various questions and issues. It is interesting though that Moshe Feinstein points out... Yeah, why pointing this way? Point this way. Ah. It's interesting that every single shul has got a poroiches, and every single poroiches, besides this one perhaps, most poroiches have got some sort of pictures on it, yeah? That either there's going to be a crown, there's a very... lions, what's that?
Often on the hammer.
Yeah, it's very common that there's pictures on the poroiches. The fancier, and it is interesting. That's been the minhag for centuries. You'll look at old paroiches; they'll also have pictures. So it's interesting that what's the dynamics between this issa and this minhag? How does that work? How are we going to interpret that? On one hand, you're not allowed to have pictures because it distracts. On another, we see that every single shul has, to some extent, a picture. It might be very basic. It might be very simple. It might not be distractive. But how does exactly, where are you going to draw the line? What does it mean? What's the point exactly? It's a bit of a question mark. Any thoughts on that?
To our mind, it was changed.
You say that's the minhag. It's the minhag. It justifies the minhag. Yeah.
It would be strange, in our minds, not that that makes it right, it would be strange to have it plain because we're so used to it.
I want to tell you that some shuls, I mean, I can talk about the Yegir where I was brought up, they changed the paroiches before the Yom Tovim. Not just Yom Noroim, but every Yom Tov has got its own paroiches, which is actually very, very beautiful. It's very beautiful. And then, you'd look at it, it's nice. And I probably never paid attention to this. But if they're very nice and very elaborate, then it's you know, a picture of the Yom Tov and everything. So how does that, what's the... It's a bit of a question mark, but right, so it's something to think about. Rabbi Yisrael, we are at the end of Siman Tzadik. We are up to Siv Chav Dalet, and we're going to complete the Siman tonight, Mitzvah Shem. Lo yispal betzad Rabbi, do not daven next to your Rebbe. Do not daven next to your Rebbe. V'lo achoyer Rabbi, you know, even behind your Rebbe. Your teacher, your mentor, don't daven right behind him. V'lo lefonov etzel, you know, before him, in front of him. V'yesh oimrim, some say, the kol zeloi ma'ira, that's only talking about, alo lispal b'yocher, when you're davening b'yechidus. He's davening b'yechidus, and you're davening b'yechidus. For some reason, you end up davening, you know, you're not in a shul. So don't daven right next to, right in front to, or right behind your Rebbe, if it's b'yechidus. Avol b'tzibur, but if it's with a minion, im kachu seyed yeshiva, so if that is the normal places, ein lochush, it's not a problem, it's palifon of achor, if you could daven behind or next to the Rebbe. However, even in a minyan, it's inappropriate to daven in front of the Rebbe. So if, you know, if you find yourself next to im ein lochush, im is palifon of achor. Im kachu seyed yeshiva, so ein lochush, im is palifon of achor. Yes. Yeah. That's what he's saying, yeah. Now, how do you define... let's just finish off the Ramav. Despite the fact that it is proper to be stringent, the meaning is to be lenient. If you distance yourself more than four amos, how much is four amos? Yeah. Mutter, that's going to be permitted. What's a Rebbe? What do you define a Rebbe? What's a Rebbe in this discussion? What is a Rebbe? Nope. So Mishnah says, and Sifkot Ein Gimel, it's not necessarily that. Q Yehuda. Don't stand next to the Rebbe because it shows that you are positioning yourself next to him. We are colleagues. Rav Eliashiv and me, we are colleagues. Reb Chaim Kanievsky, and you know, if you're putting yourself next to a level of that, so it's inappropriate to daven right next to a Rebbe. You're making a statement. Shemarishu shovel Rabbi, you're showing that you are the same as your Rebbe. V'Rabbi, what's a Rebbe? Hainu that is, sheroiv chochmasa yemenu. What's roiv chochmasa yemenu? Roiv chochmasa yemenu. Most of my knowledge comes from him. Most of my knowledge comes from this Rebbe. Correct. It's very rare nowadays to find somebody is considered a roiv chochmasa, the majority of it. We learn in yeshiva a year, get a lot of Torah from him. Next year we go shir beis to somebody else. Shir gimel we still somebody else. Eventually as adults, We learn Kol, we've got, and then as even later in the stage in life, we have got Rav, we go to this shir, we go to that shir. No, Rav Chochmos, the majority of my knowledge comes from one person. It is very rare. It's very rare. You know, you got Chochmah from him, a bit of Chochmah from there. It's very rare that majority, we nash from various places. We don't have Rav Chochmos from one particular individual. Reb Moshe Feinstein felt that Rav, he learned most of his Torah, he learned from his father, Reb David Feinstein. That was what he learned most of his, he felt that majority of his Chochmah. Chazanish also, I believe, that his father taught him most of it. But it's very rare. It's very rare. Nowadays, we are part of a system, of educational system, that we've got many, many rabbis, and not one particular that is a source of majority of our knowledge. Rav Chochmosoi. Now, besides Rav Chochmosoi, who else would qualify for this? The Mishnah Berurah says, besides Rav Chochmosoi, yeah, you got to make sure that you respect that. Besides that, there's also Godel HaDoyer. So when he's a Godel of the generation, he should also, these same halachas apply, that you got to make sure to either have four amas from him, or no, you don't have them right in front, right behind, right next to him, you have to keep four amas. I remember that I davened quite a number of times by Aaron Lipsteinman. I don't know if any of you had the experience as well. Man, it was a tiny flat. It was a very interesting experience. It was a tiny, tiny flat they lived. And very, very, very dilapidated flat. Really dilapidated. Really dilapidated flat. And Baan Leib used to give a shchumish here, and then afterwards at 1 o'clock or 1:15 he used to have a mincha. And that mincha was a packed mincha because it was in his home. It was a packed mincha. And I remember that it was a very interesting sight, that the whole dining room was packed of people, just literally squashed like sardines. But you had this this bubble around him of four amas, that nobody would step within these four amas because of this halacha, that he was a Godel HaDoyer, and there was no need for barriers or anything. People respected not to be within four amas of the Godel HaDoyer when he davens. Very much in line with this halacha over here. Yeah. Seif Chav Hei teaches us the following. Talmid Chav Mutal Ispada Lachoy Rabbi. What if you're not literally a Talmid, you're a Talmid Chav? What's a Talmid Chav? A Talmid Chav is somebody that has a relationship that on the one hand is a Talmid, he's learned lots of Torah, but he's also a Chav. It means he's got that kind of relationship that he's able to, he's a Talmid and a Chav. That means that he's not purely learning from him. There's also, the dynamics are also that he is being taught and teaching at the same, simultaneously. A Talmid Chav, that's not a pure Talmid. It's not, the level is not, it's just no one side going down, but it's also, there's some aspects of it is also, it's not a pure Talmid. Talmid Chav means that they are, yeah, that's right. Yeah. So he's a bit subordinate. He's not mamash chavusa, but he's also got aspects of sharing and not just taking. So a Talmid Chava is allowed to daven behind his rebbe, and he doesn't have to ensure to keep that distance of four amas. Yeah.
On the one hand, we've had your actual rebbe.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, we've had this
Talmid Chava. Then he would be like Siv Chav Dalet.
You'd call him your rabbi.
Yeah, but that's then it's not, it doesn't qualify as a rabbi for this purpose. Then you just
so where's, what's the
no, then like anybody else, you would, this halacha would, yeah. Okay. Siv Chav Vav. Kol Mokim Shein Koyrim Bo Kriyas Shema. All the places that one is not allowed to say Shema. Ein mispalin in boy, you're not allowed to daven Shemoneh Esrei. So we have learned plenty of at the end of the Seif, Shulchan Aruch is just wrapping it up, and he's teaching us, you remember there was lots of places that you're not allowed to say Shema, such as Pesach Yisrei, all those halachas, other problems. So we're learning now that any place that you're not allowed to say Shema, guess what? You're also not allowed to say to daven Shemoneh Esrei. Yeah. Kol mokum she'ein koyim b'kriyas shema, ein mispalim bo, v'chshem shema chikim mitzoya, Just like you got to distance yourself from tzoya, from waste, umeiraglaim, from urine, vereach ra, from odors, umeinameis, and from somebody who is nifta, umaris o erva, and from uncovered bodies, likros shema, to recite shema, as we have discussed and learned in great detail with the Gatzel Cheskiah Shema, kach, similarly, machikin letfile, you got to distance yourself from davening as well. So you have to ensure that where you daven Shemoneh Esrei are the same halachic status, same place, than with regards to Kriyas Shema. What about, so I understand, Shema, okay. I understand now we're learning Shemoneh Esrei. What about learning? Can you learn in a place? Can you learn in a place where there is a slightly uncovered body? Can you learn in a place where there is, learn, where there is a bit of odor? In a Beis Medrash, next door there's a toilet, it doesn't smell great in this place. Is that a problem, yes or no? Problem. What about, yeah, so that's what the Mishnah reminds us of this, because we have touched on this previously. Say, if cotton pay base, this is it, Rabbi Yisai, pay base, 82. With regards to learning Torah as well, and here comes some very, very controversial, I can't say controversial, but intriguing words, v'chol divrei kedusha, and also for any divrei kedusha. What is he referring to here? What does he mean? Distance yourself from let's say waste, elbow, etc. Don't say shema there, not shemayna esre, and also not davening, v'chol divrei kedusha. The last two words of Sivkot and Pei Beis. Last three words. What does that mean? What does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah, that what? Aha. So you are learning the whole divrei kedusha, you are interpreting it. That it's not only talking about, so he's saying that, you know, distance yourself from all these things, not just for Torah, but, no, no.
Chaz HaShatz might be a good enough for him, because I'm not saying anything, but Chaz is saying something. So he might be in a clean place. I'm standing out by the door.
Kadesh, Baruch Hu, you're saying that's what he's referring to. Does it, very good, does it perhaps also refer to not performing mitzvahs in a place like that? Lulav, shofar, imagine you are listening to the shofar, women, yeah, noshim, are going to listen to tkiah shofar and say, because of so many, such a big olam came, she ends up standing in a place next to the toilet. Or say there is somebody coming in for shofar that is not dressed appropriately. All very realistic scenarios. Is this a problem or not? You're not saying anything. Does that what he means? Is that what he means? Called divrei kedusha. Does that?
Will he not phrase it as a siyas mitzvah?
Pardon? Yes. The question is that what he's phrasing? Is that what he's saying? Called divrei kedusha. So the answer to the question is as follows, that in principle, you're right. In principle, and the Bialocha says that in different Halocha, Tovkuf Peches, he teaches us, and I think we've spoken about this a few months ago, it's not such a long time ago, maybe half a year ago. Bialocha tells us that it is fine. There's no Halocha really to usher it. And it's fine really to do a mitzvah, like to do a mitzvah in a place where Zohar Matunov. And a good proof is going to be tzitzis. So in principle, you're okay to do mitzvahs in a place where it's a mokum etunav. However, what the Bialocha is masupik about, and that's something to think about, it's interesting, is that normally we hold that Bialocha elsewhere, in Chelik Vav, he says that perhaps the only problem might be because of kavona. Mitzvah tzitzis kavona. Kishofer requires kavona. So imagine you can't really have kavona because kavona, you need mitzvah needs kavana, but on the other hand, you're in a place where you can't really be thinking about Torah. So would that be a problem? Some argue that no, kavana is not necessarily mean Torah. It becomes a discussion, but there might be a problem. But the passage of this Mishnah Berurah, I agree with your understanding. The passage of this Mishnah Berurah is not talking about kol divrei kedusha. It's not talking about mitzvahs. Rather, it's talking about parts of the davening. Yeah, we continue.
Either way, davening would be better, for example.
Yeah. Yeah. Sif Chav Zayin. What happens if you're davening you're davening, and lo and behold, v'hishtin tinnag b'beis ha-knesses. What happened was that you had the privilege of davening next to a tinnag. It was a very young baby next to you. A bit too young to come to shul. A little bit too young. V'hishtin b'beis ha-knesses. A little accident happened with this 2 or 3 year old that was davening next to you. Lo and behold, what are we going to do now? Yimidav Shmoneh Esrei, you say, Tkav Shofar Gadol L'Chiruseinu, and then you see this puddle next to you, next to the 3 year old boy who's davening next to you. What are you going to do? What? Gadol
L'Chiruseinu.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you're saying that it makes a difference if it's not. So the problem is that when it comes to, if it's right next to you, then even if it doesn't smell, it might be a problem. So look what the Shulchan Aruch says. V'yishtin tinnag b'beis ha-knesses, yishtoik, relax, be quiet, do not continue to daven, stop davening right now, yishtoik, stop davening, ad sheyaviu ma'im lehatil me'araglaim, until people come and clear it up. Wait for people to clean it up. Who is going to clean it up? It's another question. But just wait until it's been cleaned up. So you don't daven. Oi, alternatively, and that's a really important one, perhaps more relevant even, perhaps even a better idea. Yahalech lefonav abba amosel itzdarov. Move. Go 4 amos away. So if there's no smell, you're fine. You've gone 4 amos away. You're out of the zone. Absolutely, the answer is Yamgat. That's the chiddush of the day. Today we have come to the Shia to learn you can move 4 amos even in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei.
If this,
pardon?
You keep moving 4 amos.
No.
Because if it's your kid, you're going to have to finish.
He's going to join you. He's going to follow you wherever you go. Yeah, that's a problem. Yeah. So perhaps you shouldn't have brought him in the first place. Yeah, that's the first and only time he's doing it. That's one of those mistakes you only do once, right? Yeah. Yeah, you can. So Yahalech lefonav abba omezol etzdalav, go in front 4 amos and go to the side. Or yeitzim ebeis haknezah, so even better yet, go out of shul v'yigmet filoso and finish davening. If it's your son, that's likely to do that because of the embarrassment. So you go, get out of shul and finish davening, you know, elsewhere. V'yoyisetoyv leilech lemokim achev lo yilishtek. Better to walk than to wait. Walk 4 amos. So of course you're right, Steve. Of course, ideally, don't walk 4 amos in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. Don't walk in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. But under these circumstances, that's the best. It's the best you can do. Yes, walking Shemoneh Esrei is at times permissible and in fact advised. Yes, you do. Yeah, provided that, and that's what we're going to see now. Don't make a long interruption. If your break is longer than it takes to daven Shemoneh Esrei, you have lost your Shemoneh Esrei. So say for whatever reason, it takes ages to settle yourself in the next place, you might have lost your Shemoneh Esrei. But yeah, nowhere to go, whatever, yeah, that's right. But in principle, again, what we're learning now, accident happens next to you, get out of there. If you can wait until it gets clear, you see somebody's busy already, bring the sponge on, so maybe wait a minute. But better yet, you get out of there, assuming there is no smell, you move away 4 amos, and you are fine. You find a big chiddush? Big chiddush, huh? It's a big chiddush. 4 amos to walk 4 amos. Yeah. Now, the Mishnah says, it's not considered an interruption. We're not meant to interrupt the middle of Shemoneh Esrei. But why is it not considered an interruption? With a rule, a general rule, when you do something for the purpose of the tefillah, then it's not causing interruption. It's not hefsek, and therefore it's fine. Okay, that's it for this evening, our boys. We're going to continue Siman Sadi Aleph tomorrow. We're going to start Siman Sadi Aleph tomorrow. Let's just summarize what we learned this evening. We finished off the topic of the pictures by mentioning Rav Moshe Feinstein, speaking about the peroiches. Then we moved on. About the halacha of not davening next to a rebbe. So don't daven right next to him, in front of him, and not behind him. And this is primarily talking about if he's davening bechidus. But even a bit simple, it's okay, but it's not advisable. We learned this is only talking about a rebbe who is either Rav Chochmasoi or God Hadoyer. And we learned that if it's a Talmud Chava, then it's more lenient. We also said that all the halachas that we spoke about in Kiyashma also apply with regards to Shemayna Esra. And we spoke about the fact that if an accident happens, and a baby made was an accident in shul with a young child, then one should be quiet. But ideally, better yet, you should walk 4 hours away and continue davening for your work, provided that your hefsek wasn't very long. Okay, gentlemen, tomorrow we're going to be starting Siman Tzadi Aleph She'ezo Masnov V'Chasi Roshu B'Shas Tefillah, which is the halachas of the wrapping yourself up, about the gartel, the belt, the hat, and some other very fascinating halachas. The couple might be mentioned as well. Okay, good evening.